And my daughter explained to me, I'd never heard, I didn't know what a glottal stop was until she mentioned it. And it literally, and I said, what's a glottal stop? And she went, yes, it's that, Dad. Because I pronounced it glottal stop. And she went, see those two T's that you missed in the middle of the word? That's your glottal stop.
You have to, the word glottal stop has a glottal stop in it. I am Roz. Joining me, as always, is my co-host Ian, and together, slowly figuring out every single parlance of the British accent, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. It's the glottal stop is one of our, is definitely the theme of the day. However, we do have some dark beers. We're into the, but not just the dark beers, like a porter.
It's not a porter.
Or a stout. This here is a lager. You can't glottal stop the word lager. You can try.
You just did a perfect... My Fair Lady?
Yes.
Which just happens to be my favourite musical of all time.
Same.
Wonderful. Of course, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
Mm-hmm.
A very famous song that comes from it, when Eliza learns to sing or pronounce the A correctly, rather than saying the Rhine in Spine stays mainly on the plain.
Well, they did a
a mock of that on a Carlsberg commercial in the UK, probably 30 years ago now, I should imagine.
I'm so glad they have such topical, up-to-date references on this show.
Where this posh woman was trying to sound common.
Okay.
So she was going the other way to what Eliza was doing. And she was trying to say the water in Mallorca doesn't taste like it ought to. And it became, of course, the water in Mallorca don't taste like what it ought to.
Yeah.
And those are full of missed glottal stops. The water in Mallorca don't taste like what it ought to.
Mallorca? Even mm-hmm. I know you don't pronounce the J in Mallorca. It reminds me of when my two older stepkids, they both went through choir, and the youngest one, the song that they did one year was, they sang in choir, not all, but many of the verses of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And the problem there was that their music teacher was trying to teach them, you know, you learn enunciation, you learn pronunciation, but the problem there is that the rhymes for Hallelujah were all slang. You don't really care for music, do ya?
Yeah.
The only thing I learned of love was how to shoot at someone who outdrew ya. Now, thing is, when you're learning how to say everything properly, your choir teacher teaches you to sing, and you don't really care for music, do you?
Yes.
And your stepfather, who is sitting in the audience, is just cringing and dying melodic, just sitting, oh, no, I'm so dead from this. I can't, oh, it was... awful to listen to. They sounded very well spoken, but they ruined the song.
Well, most people do when they try to do Hallelujah, but that's another example of it for a different reason.
It's true. Yeah, I say we all do good versions, but you know, though I have heard now my worst version ever, and you will never get worse than a children's choir that is taught to pronounce all the U's correctly instead of the Ya's at the end of the sentence. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've glottal stop. So it's like, no, Mallorca bumps there. That's there. It's now a Mallorca bump. Regardless, the lower alcohol percentage of the first of our two here, one is a dark lagered ale and the other is a Schwarz beer. And we had a very long conversation as to, is a Schwarz beer a lagered, a dark lager, or is it a little bit different? And it's possible that the Schwarz beer is specifically... a German version of a lagered ale, potentially. I may have lost Ian in space. But hopefully they are quite comparable. So the first up, from North Brewing Company, out of... are they in the Dartmouth sign? I know of their place. They have a lovely tap room in Timberley, but aha, yeah, there we go. Out of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia is the Dartmouth Dark coffee-infused dark lagered ale. I like, yep. Is that a, would you say that's a loon or a goose? That's a goose.
Oh, it's a goose, undoubtedly. It's very dark, but you could just make out his little legs.
Tis a late night goose. Now I have myself wondering, I mean, I don't think geese are nocturnal. You usually see them during the day. Is it a Canada goose? Again, I have so many questions about their art. But the art style, it's quite delightful. It's a very nice can. It's got the label on there, but it's very all very dark, dark end. And the other bonus, I was able to find, not on the North Brewing website, but somewhere else over here on the beeradvocate.com is this the one? Yes, it is on the can, but I'm going to read it off the website as well. So they took the same thing. We're stoked to have worked with our friends at Anchored Coffee to develop this unique brew, a dark lagered ale with notes of chocolate and dried fruit packed with a delicate coffee flavor imparted by an expertly crafted cold brew. So I think...
We've had one or two of those, haven't we? Chocolate, coffee, and fruit. This sounds like most of the beers that we're imbibing these days. And it's not a bad thing.
But now...
I love all that stuff.
It says, so the style, Belgian dark ale, but it says Dartmouth dark lagered ale. And the first comment is... This is just like a Schwarz beer should be. Okay.
Fine.
So I have to decide that they're comparable.
You were trying to justify comparing the two, and I don't see why you shouldn't, because the first line when I looked up what denotes a Schwarz beer, or what is it? It just said it's a German dark lager. So they're both dark lagers. A Schwarz beer is a dark lager.
Yeah.
So it is comparing, thankfully this time, apples with apples rather than what we did recently, or they were really rather different. But these are direct comparisons. There's no reason why, just because it's... One is called a dark lager and one is called a Schwarz beer. Why they are any different?
So I think we are not comparing apples to apples. We are comparing apples with pommes de terre.
All right, if you want to be smart about it.
I mean, it's the exact same thing, but one is just in a different language.
I just like what it all are.
Only because I do not know what apple is in German, and I'm assuming you do.
Give me a moment. It'll come to me. I was going to say pommes, but that's potatoes. It'll come to me... It's been 20-something years since I lived there. It'll come to me.
Okay. But yes, I'm excited. I mean, notes of chocolate. So, did it say a chocolate? No, just Belgian dark ale. Yep. So it's not saying anything specific. It had something to do with a coffee flavor imparted by... an expertly crafted cold brew. And it does say their partner is Anchored Coffee. So I think it's a local coffee company as well. So they got their, beans... Infused it with coffee. I'm hoping that it's not going to be overdone with coffee. I would really rather taste the chocolate and the dried fruit.
I just remembered, it's actually really simple. It's Apfel. A-P-F-E-L. Oh. I know.
Apfel. Okay.
Apfelsahne is apple juice.
So we are comparing apples with apfels.
Yes, apples.
That would have been a much cleverer title to this video had I figured that out. But I went with may the Schwarz beers be with us, which, as we discussed earlier, you and I over text, that was a reference lost to you. Are we going to get into our earlier conversation? You have seen Spaceballs.
Hold it for later, but definitely come back to it and elaborate, because I'm still in the dark. Lager, as it were. You already poured yours.
I did, yeah. I got the whole thing in my North Brewing Company glass. I'm not sure exactly what shape this is, but it was the glass. I didn't have this shape yet. So my thing about buying glasses from the pubs or the breweries themselves is I want to get something that's a little different. I've got a few samey ones, but I like for them to have a little bit of personality at each of the glasses, I do dare say. So I've got a number of fun little shapes, which means that sometimes I drink the wrong beer in the wrong glass, and I don't really give a poop.
It just occurred to me, actually, earlier on today, when you wanted to do dark stuff last week, And in the end, I went for something far lighter because I was driving there, which was lovely to see you, by the way. I'd forgotten what you looked like.
Those other ones were dark because they are strong. Those are some oak cask wee heavies, and yeah.
That's right. But it did occur to me, I thought, well, here we are, because we were sat in the dark. It would have been really cool to have done dark stuff in the dark. You couldn't see me, but it was only my head at one point, wasn't it? The whole thing was just a dark show. So it would have been kind of cool to have had these dark beers that you probably couldn't see either in the dark.
As per usual, our hindsight is 2020.
I know, isn't that? I wish it was. I don't know where I'm going with that. I was going to say, I wish it was 40-40, but that doesn't work at all. I'll stop there.
We'll get better at the thematics. We've only been doing this for 3 years, so.
Yeah.
nearly four. Oh, my God.
I'll get it all in.
Three. There. It's smelling very smoky. Are you getting
mine? I can smell the fruit.
Oh, really? See, I wish I could smell the fruit because I'm just smelling the coffee and the smoke. It's like a very burnt coffee bean kind of smell.
I'm not getting smoke, Ross. Really? We got these at the same time, didn't we?
I think so. Yes, I think you did. You pick these up or did I pick these up?
I think I picked these up, but it's a good long while ago. I'm smelling fruit. I'm not getting so much smoke off of there.
Okay. Well, Charles.
Oh, yeah.
Shall we?
I'm also on the front end getting the fruit taste.
Yeah.
It's a fruitier. That's the first thing that hit me. Mm. Chocolate is, if it's there, it's latent. I'm not really getting much of a chocolate hit.
You did say we got the... I don't think we got them that long ago, though, that I would say... Oh, here we go. Batch 0723.
July
2023. I mean, I'm not keeping it next to the stove or anything like that. It's not changing temperatures. It shouldn't taste off, but either the dried fruit taste is tasting like it is the taste that tastes a bit off to me, even if that's what it's supposed to taste like, or it's just a teeny bit gone off, but I can't tell.
I don't know if there is... I'm trying to read again. I haven't got my glasses. I'll have to put Rebecca's on. Here they are. These are nice. I like these glasses.
Random glasses.
Yeah. Malted wheats, hops, and coffee. 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 I've said coffee now five times, and still I'm not tasting it.
I don't think I'm getting that either, no. First can I had must have been compromised because this one was very good. So the reviews are, and it's got an average of 3.7 out of 5, which is what? That's like a 7 and a bit. And I don't think I'm going to be very nice to this because
it's
like you say, it's got that interesting fruit flavor, which does taste a bit stone fruity, but almost towards a sour fruit kind of flavor. And then, but behind that,
nothing, is there?
I think, no. Oh, here comes the smoky bit. Here comes the coffee at the tail end. Nope. Here comes... Nope. You promised me chocolate, you promised me coffee, and none of those are coming through, or any kind of even just a hint of the coffee. I mean, arguably, we're only halfway down, so it could have been on the top.
It's not...
It's
not rich in the slightest, and some of the Lagerdales I've had recently, be it dark or not, have been rather full-bodied. You know, they've been kind of richer and heavier than this. This is very light, quite fruity, but it tastes, dare I say it, a bit like a non-alcoholic variation on a stout or something like that. You know, where they're a bit watery. There's something in there, but you're really... You're not getting much. The flavor is up front is fruity, but there's, like you said, there's nothing happening behind it. It's just a bit bland.
Yeah,
a bit boring.
It tastes light, but it does not even seem sessionable to me. I wouldn't say, "Oh, that's refreshing. Give me another one of those to crush." It just sort of leaves you with a questionable taste in your mouth. I think, was that beer? Is that what that was? Have I drank beer?
Right at the end of that mouthful, I got just the hint of coffee, and it was really subtle.
Okay.
Tiny little bit. So
it's got to be quite subtle.
Yeah. Yeah. You're trying to drown it. Maybe if I take a bigger mouthful, I don't know.
I keep drinking it, hoping the flavor is going to show up, and it never does.
The merest hint. I am getting a tiny bit of coffee. A tiny bit. I've had to go searching for it, but I think it's there, Russ. this is not exciting me in the slightest. I'm really disappointed by this. This is North Brewing, and they've done some really top stuff.
Is it possible that sitting in the closet on its own for a year, the fruit flavor has gotten a fight with the other flavors, and the fruit flavor won? It punched the coffee in the face, and it punched the other one. Ah, biff, smack. We will be a fruit flavored beer now. This is what is coming out. You know what this reminds me of? My stepbrother brought back from Japan one time something called plum wine.
Oh yeah,
it was and it wasn't rich. It was just that kind of burned back of the throat, kind of high alcohol. I mean, this tastes more alcoholic than it is, just because of that fruity flavor. And I associate that fruity flavor with a stronger wine. This tastes like a non grape wine, plum, pear, something like that.
Okay, yeah, I see where you're going with that.
Where it's.
Yeah, I'm now searching for that. If I took another swig of it, I'll say, "Oh, this tastes like plums." As a curio, the empty can, is sitting here on the table next to the beer, and as if by magic, we were commenting the other day that there have been this year. I don't know if it's been the same with you. In the past, we've had dreadful infestations with fruit flies.
Mm.
This year. You haven't had any.
I know. Something, but holy cat, you are right. You are quite right.
Okay. Well, what should be walking around the surface now, filling its belly? A fruit fly is on the open. I wish you could see it. It's just, like, wow, that's a fly.
Just the
only the one so far. Yeah. But of course, myself, they don't land on coffee. But they do like fruit, and that is definitely a fruit fly walking around this distinctly fruity, but not very coffee-ish beer.
It's one of the reasons that they don't call them coffee flies.
One of the many reasons.
Well, the other reason is that coffee fly has already been copywritten. It's a trademark name for one of the Laura Secord chocolates.
Okay. I don't know what any of that meant, but I'll take your word for it.
I'm just making up and saying words. It's no rhyme or reason.
Okay. The further I get down this glass, the coffee is slowly beginning to make its presence just at the back end.
You really have to search, though, with all of your taste buds.
It's disappointing. Hey. I mentioned to you, I think yesterday, I was mentioning about there it is, it's, get out of here. You are not welcome here, fruit fly. You know how difficult it is to kill fruit flies, they're pretty smart.
Very annoying.
Of all the non-craft beer brewers around that could have a stab at this, the Mooseheads Dark Lager, to me, has totally changed. It's like raised the bar on all that stuff. Mm. I know those the big players. They had to adapt to the craft brewing industry because clearly they would have been losing some of their economy because of that. Because people were moving away, so they needed something a little bit more discerning. But my God, the dark lager that they've got at the moment. It's the best dark lager I've tasted in Nova Scotia.
Should we start bringing some more of these small batch by the big guys or not? I mean, it's a complicated question because
I know.
And I think it comes down to me being obstinate, and I have my own personal feelings, basically, where I always root for the underdog. I am just a staunch, always root for the underdog. Yeah. If the big companies are doing something, I'll just ignore them fully. But I'm trying to decide if, where Moosehead, Keith, they're doing the small batch thing, if that legitimizes and supports the craft beer industry, the small ones, or is it actually thieving sales back to them because they found that the craft beer market was infringing on their bottom line? So if
Keith's, with the latter,
Keith's IPA and Moosehead Dry were 80% of the market share, and then enough craft breweries popped up that all of a sudden they were only getting 60%, 60, 65% of the market share. Then they say, oh, we're losing our sales. What's happening? Yeah. Well, these guys over here are making a double chocolate fountain pop IPA thing. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, you know, get Simmons in here and we'll work on a new. So what I like, or well, not like, but I expect the big, huge guys, the professional, and they all say, we've been making beer since Alexander Keith back in 18, and I expect them to do it nearly perfectly, despite the fact that their basic schlots that they spew out is not tasty. But it's kind of funny where they sort of say, oh, we'll do small batches and it has to taste good now. Oh, okay. Cross the teeth, get the recipe in here, and boom, there you go. And you say, oh, this is really good. And, aha, see, there you are. And so it is possible, and they can do it, because I kind of want them to fail and expect, I don't quite expect them to fail, because I think you're the ones with all the resources and the plants and the money and the lawyer and everything. You have access to everything, so it should be really good. You know, how dare you not make a good craft beer?
That's right.
Small batch.
If they didn't, it would just prove what we all kind of, not all. Clearly, we are very much a minority, Ross, because there are far more people in Nova Scotia drinking shit beer than decent stuff.
It's still 60, 70, 80% of the market share. I don't know. Some other number I'll make up.
But it would prove to us, the people that might be, I'm going to be a bit snobby here and say that I am a beer snob. It proves to us beer snobs what we suspected, that really they can't make beer. They're just people they drag off the streets and say, here's a bunch of ingredients that we've already got listed for you. Throw it in there and then leave, because we'll do. That's the way I see the mass producing. Now, I might be wrong, but I can't imagine them. Of course they have a master brewer. Of course they have a bunch of staff. But are they really knowledgeable about the beer, about the process? Do they really know what makes a good beer?
Possibly, probably. It. But I come back to, I don't think it's as much of a passion project.
Absolutely.
So some our favorite brewers, the ones that we have met, when they talk about it, when you hear them talk about how passionate they are about making this amazing product, and it comes through where they want to change the palates, change the minds, or appeal to something where someone says, this could be better. This could always be greater, better. It's the same as talking to someone at a fantastic restaurant, say, I want to make people eat asparagus again. I think we've been eating it wrong this whole time, so my passion is to bring this recipe, and it's going to make people really excited about this thing that they thought they didn't like.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting a passionate person, all you're getting is science and money from a huge corporation. So it's huge corporation, science, money. I could be wrong. There could be some guy who got the job of his lifetime, and he's, or you know, guy or girl, and sitting there saying, oh, I've been put in charge of the, you know, of the small batches here at Keith's. And they've been up there, they've been paying their dues for 20 years, making the gross lagers forever. And then finally someone said, hey, could you do one that tastes good? Oh, my day has finally arrived. Yes, here we go. Apricot wheat beer coming right up. Schling! And there it is.
Whatever it is that they have done, and this isn't just with the dark lager, by the way, which is, like I just said, it's so freaking good. Whatever they've done, I've tried three or four of them, and they're all really delicious. And I kind of feel that I want to feel that I'm taking Moosehead specifically. I want to feel that they are still, they're not Molson. They're not Anheuser-Busch. They've still got a certain, they still like their beer. They still respect their customers, I think. They are certainly not a craft brewing establishment at all, but they are, I still think they have a certain, I've got to choose my words carefully here. Not that anyone's listening, but I still like to think of them as one of ours. Do you know what I mean? That they care about the beer they're making. And whatever it is they're doing, those small batch, whoever they employed, whether they employed them from within and said, look, like, we understand that we do well. We don't need to do this. We can survive quite well without it. But whether or not they chose to piggyback off of the craft industry, and because they wanted to wrestle back some of the share that maybe they thought they were losing, or maybe they were losing. If, on the other hand, they go and produce really, really good craft beers, I'm using that in quotation marks, small batch alternatives to the shite that is mostly out there. And if that then, as a result, rebounds back on the craft brewers that say, hey, they're making something really good here. Maybe we need to up our game a little bit to keep ourselves in the game, because they really did with that dark lager. I could have, Ross, I could drink that all the time. It's so damn delicious. And unfortunately, North Brewing, who I would love to say, oh, this is wonderful, the Schwarz beer. They really have knocked it out of the park. I can't say it. It's really disappointing. It's bland. When I put it up against something like that, it's just a bit bleh.
Well, I hope we find something in our second one. But to follow on, so here is some information on Moosehead, because I was curious. You said, you know, the Busch and things that they own most of the other ones. Moosehead, here's what I have learned, is Canada's oldest independent brewery, still privately owned and operated by the Oland family. So it's by the Oland family. It was founded in 1867. It's the same age as the dang country. I find that kind of amusing. The company is now in its sixth generation of family ownership. That's pretty neat. Okay. The only problem that I can find, because I was just about to suggest, why don't one of these weeks we'll have a full-on sellout night where we drink only the larger corporations' small batch stuff, and I still think we could do that. But what I'm learning here is Moosehead. So the its headquarters is in St. John, New Brunswick.
Yeah, that would make sense. I've passed it.
So are we drinking Nova Scotia craft beer if we're drinking the small batch stuff for Moosehead?
No.
Bulls. That's just complete bulls.
But we didn't. When we did that thing a year or two back with Keir, I believe, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was it just the three of us? When we did that, we drank Molson. And you can't convince me that they're from Nova Scotia. We did do Oland. We did Keith's, of course. We did the IPA. We did the Molson Canadian, which was just awful. And another, and I can't remember what the heck it was.
We just had the Oland Export.
Right, so we did go outside the box. We went to Molson. And, of course, two weeks ago, You were drinking New Brunswick ale?
I was. That was a little, because we were talking to our brother podcasty people with the channel in New Brunswick. And so I tried some, yes.
It might be an idea maybe to just to dip out. We'll talk.
Oland Export was sold by the Oland family to Labatt in the 70s. And it was brewed here in Halifax. Brewed at the Oland Brewery in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Okay, regional beer of the Canadian Maritime Provinces. But Labatt, that's Busch Bush Labatt, headquartered in Toronto. Okay. A little bit more information. Definitely some more, not information. The other thing, research has got to go into this. And you said definitely. One last thing that I was going to bring up, but no, it's, yeah. So I would like to do a sellout one where we talk about that and the large ones, the, you know, the moose heads. If we do those craft beer ones, we might as well try the small batch ones by the big guys, see how they compare. But before then, we have this little tiny 355 milliliter can from the Horton Ridge malt house called Labor of Love Schwarz Beer at 5.0%. And it has nothing written on the can. It's just their standard Horton Ridge one with the small label down there, which looks like a slightly out of... Actually, I think it's a sticker. Yep, the Labor of Love. The Schwarz Beer is just a sticker on a purple can because all it just says is... Oh, no, it does say lager. Neat. It says lager in gold letters along there, and there's no other information except on the Facebook post from Horton Ridge where they describe another big part of Oktoberfest. This is when they announced this was coming back in 2022. We'll be releasing Labor of Love, a German Schwarz beer, for the second time. I assume a third one last summer. A dark lager brewed with our Munich and dark chocolate malt to provide an exceptionally smooth, crisp beer with malty notes and finishes with chocolate and a hint of coffee.
Yeah.
Not a word about fruit.
We've heard that before.
But it's not saying anything about dried fruit, so I think we're doing okay. And this one's a 5%, okay. Not a 4. What was the other one? 4.5?
5.45.
Smells the exact same. Which is mildly disappointing,
oh,
but
oh, no, mine doesn't.
It doesn't.
No, no. Mine smells. It's gone away a little bit, but
I'll tell you.
No, mine smells. Oh no, it smells very different.
The head on that getting a bit more chocolatey. I think there's some sort of sweet flavor that is definitely not just it's not dried fruit because they're told us there's none in there, so there better not be any damn dried fruit in here. Get out of here with your dried fruit. I have been crazy impressed with the stuff coming out of the Horton Ridge Malt House.
It's yeasty. It's very malty, very yeasty is the smell I'm getting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's far more. I didn't get any fruitiness from the smell at all. Far. This smells far maltier than me. And I suppose it should do. It's from the Malt House, but I think I've said that before as well.
I immediately, when they were building and they announced they were just going to malt things for other places, and I said, okay, fine. And they said, no, wait a minute, we're also going to make our own beers. And I went, well, fair. And they said, yes, and it's the Malt House. And I said, well, there's no way that you could live up to what my expectations are of a brewery called the Malt House should make. And so far, they've kind of done it. Their brew that's just called The Malt House, that one is fantastic. Their Bar Dog Stout, amazing. The rye that they do was also incredible, where I found myself being a new rye fan. If I find a rye ale, I am in.
This looks, I mean, it's 5%. It's a little stronger.
It's a little cloudier. It's not crazy strong.
It's looking... Do you know, if I were to say what I want a beer to look like before drinking it, it's pretty close. This looks like a far thicker, richer drink to me than the rather thin, fruity thing that we've just had.
It looks like a Guinness.
It smells really good, malty, yeasty. Ooh. I don't have any real, again... I'm not really getting a lot of chocolate or coffee smell from it. I'm getting malt and yeast.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting a tiny sweetness that could be chocolate, but we'll see kind of situation. Okay.
Yes.
Charles?
Oh, let's do it.
Oh.
Roasty.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Ish.
Thick.
The thick and the smooth, so much more thick and so much smoother. Not even rich, but you're right about the thick. It's a creamy. This is like when they sort of say you get a milk stout kind of thing. You get that. It's got a very creamy coating to
very malty. Really rather malty, and if that's their thing, if they are calling themselves the Malt House, and you said they are very malt forward with every with what they do, then again, this has done it. This is unfair, Ross. It seems so unfair because we, you and I, know we love malt forward beers. It seems unfair, really. But this, to me, is not. The other thing is lagery. This is altogether a more.
Oh, it's the richest, creamiest fake lager I've ever had. Yes.
There's nothing lagery about this whatsoever. It's a. It's like a rich porter. It's like a thicker porter.
This is thicker than some of the porters we've had. And this is coming out saying, oh, we are the Schwarzbier. Exceptionally smooth. Crisp. Yeah. Crisp?
No.
It's not crisp. This is heavy. This tastes heavy. Malty notes.
Yes.
Notes? Yeah. I mean, if it's... This is Flight of the Bumblebee for malty notes, I feel.
It's very, very malty. Yeah, this isn't subtle. This isn't a subtle note of maltiness. Malty.
Finishes with chocolate and a hint of... Finishing with chocolate and a hint of coffee, I'll give them that. That's about the most accurate part of that.
Only a hint. There's not much... I'm not getting chocolate. I'm getting roasty coffee. Well, it all comes from the cocoa bean. I think
it's all the same. Is it coffee, chocolate, cocaine? It's all the same stuff. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It is a really bitter, dark one. I like it.
Mm.
It might be a but.
Well, this is where you say our reviews and our opinions are skewed because we like a certain thing. But I always say that we are allowed to have our personal opinions on things as long as we describe it extensively. You know, if we try to describe the IPA we don't like by saying this one burns on the back end, there's too much of a grapefruit and fruity flavor up front, then at least not only are we saying why we don't like it, but we're describing enough things that someone says, ooh, you know what? I really like getting the back of my throat burned off and the taste of grapefruit. I'll like that a whole bunch. Thanks, two random dudes I don't agree with on the internet.
This is quite bitter.
Yes.
Quite bitter, and there is just a lingering aftertaste that I'm not savoring. Would be my criticism of it.
There, like I was saying, there are other beers that I've tried and loved are smoother. This has uninvited guest at the tail end of it.
I think the reason why I was initially really rather excited about it on the first flavoring was because I tried to wash away the fruity thing going on with water and peanuts and then water again. So therefore when we got this altogether more malty, thicker, richer, darker, yeastier thing going on. I was initially excited about it. I've tempered that a little bit. It's still very, it's very full-bodied.
I feel like I'm not drinking a 5.0% in either of these. They taste stronger than they are, which worries me slightly.
Oh, okay. I didn't think that about the previous one.
Oh, you thought that tasted like a 4.5?
Yeah, I did. I found it I found it like a lighter, fruity lager. There wasn't a lot going on in it still. What I will say about this, there isn't a lot of, strange enough, not a lot of, I can't really pick a flavor. There's not a, oh my God, I'm getting this and that out of it. Just it tastes malty and
except that burn and a little bit, that burnt smoke on the back end. Yeah, that's the bitter
thing, maybe. Yeah, it's bitter. It's rich. It's thick. But there's not really a great deal of flavor to it.
I suppose not. No.
You know when you drink a Guinness. I mean, I'm just talking about the generic cold flow Guinness. You're like, yeah, I like this. I do. I like it a lot. But when you try and describe the flavor of it, what does it taste like to you? Like, To hang my coat on.
Creamy smoke is what it tastes like to me.
Guinness.
Yeah.
Creamy smoke.
And okay. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's. There's that kind of the bitter burnt taste at the back end, but the whole part of it ahead of that is this creamy, smooth, delightful. It's as though someone has set a glass of milk on fire and then blown it out and then given it to you.
If I tried to explain it to someone and describe it, I wouldn't have done it that like the way you just did, but I wouldn't know how to explain it. I'd just say, I don't know why I like it. I just do like it. Mm. Give it a go. If there's a person on this planet over the age of 19 that hasn't drank Guinness, well, I don't know what they've been doing their whole lives. But it's difficult to pin this down. This drink.
Yeah.
For me personally, I'm trying to describe it with a flavour or a taste of something, but I can't really. It just tastes malty and. Can you help me out, Russ?
Well, the malt's there, and there's a bit of a sweetened side to the malt up front, but this burnt bitter aftertaste starts not long after you get your front end of, oh, that's quite nice. And then it says, here I come. And then it just lingers. It bothers me because it's so smooth up front. And then it says, ooh, I'm going to hang around a bit.
I don't love the lingering taste it gives me.
I certainly
don't. I don't want to go back to the fruity thing to take the taste. Oh, I don't know. Have we had this a while?
Do you know what? Maybe. I don't see anything written on the can.
The problem is with having 50 or so craft brews in your fridge at any one time. You know, you've got half a year's supply at any one time. They're all slowly going past their best. I don't know what the optimum drinking time is for a craft brew. You don't want to hang around too long with it.
It changes with the percentage, because with the high percentage ones, they never seem to go bad, and we always still love those. So I feel like the lower ones we should probably get into sooner rather than later. I noticed a 4.3 session IPA in there that I'm a little scared of right now.
It's been hanging around with spiders' webs on a little too long. I really was looking forward to this evening's dark offerings. I'm a little bit sad, but I mean this is a nicer mouthfeel. I will say that about it for me personally. It's kind of coating inside of my mouth. I feel like I'm drinking a proper alcoholic beer.
Yep.
Whereas the other one to me was a little bit like a light fruity thing going on, and it just didn't do much for me. I just felt, it's just nothing much going on. So this does what I want from the smoothness of a stronger ale, but the flavor isn't knocking me out at all. I'm a bit disappointed with the with the whole thing. What a shame.
I'm sort of the same.
Very bitter.
Very bitter. It's so.
Maybe it's me. It's my bitterness that's kind of infusing into the beer.
Here we go.
Here we go.
We've got a little tiny bit left, so we're going to go to the Fruity North Brewing and get this last mouthful in and see what happens in comparison to the smoky burnt thing.
I wouldn't advise it, but go ahead. Not this occasion. What do you think of that? Did it help?
No, it's still that overdone yeasty. There's the burnt, the smoke is coming through from the coating on the other one.
Is it?
And now those are mixing, so it's making it a bit more. But it's the fruitiness, or some sort of strange fruit spoiled.
Oh, it tastes awful now. It tastes like it's been sat there overnight. that's not its fault on this occasion. It's because of the mouthfeel of the one I've just had. Mm. It's still in my mouth. And that was richer and thicker and this would just taste like stale beer now to me, the previous one, which hasn't done it any favors.
It does, doesn't it? So now, having said that, now I go back to the mouthful of the Horton Ridge one.
Did that help that one?
Yes. Now I've got that tasty, I love the malt taste up front. Ooh, this is delicious. I like it. There's a little tiny bit of a sweetness, but then 3, 2, 1. Now I'm a bitter aftertaste of smoke.
That's
and it's
the reason
not
why I
smooth. It's
I was initially, you know, when we cracked it and I had the first mouth, oh God, yes, please bring this. And then, but once it had settled down and I really got to work on it, I thought, actually, this is not as good as I thought. Yeah, I'm gonna do something. I haven't done in a long time. When you would hold those up together, Ross, I thought, he's going to do the thing, isn't he?
I am definitely not going to do the thing. Only you were this crazy.
I am. I'm because of what you were doing there. And look, I'm going to do it. Hell with it. Will this give me what I'm looking for?
An ulcer.
Slightly. An ulcer. Thicker.
Cardiac arrest. Is that what you're looking for?
I was about to say, will this give me what I'm looking for? But clearly, I don't know what I'm looking for in this beer. And it isn't. It certainly isn't what these two were giving me.
If you're looking for heartburn and diarrhea, then I think you might be in luck.
Okay, hang on.
In a really weird way, I'm kind of envious. I'm wondering if the fruit mixes with the burn.
And the maltiness. The fruitiness is still overpowering, actually. Okay.
So now you get the worst of both as opposed to the best of both.
It's a smoother ride than before with the fruity one, for sure. But but the fruitiness is still there. I would say it's actually...
Of the three, it's probably the better flavor. I'll give you that.
At least there is some flavor now, which what I wasn't getting from the malt house. It's still... I'm not loving it this way either.
I think I have to... Dartmouth Dark, 6.5. Horton Ridge, 7. I think I'll go as high as that, is what I've got.
Because it's more malty, and I'm always going to... The malty thing's always going to win out with me.
Oh, yeah.
I just love... It wins by a whisker. That I would say 5 and 6. There's not much. Okay. It's there.
And again, we kept them maybe for a bit too long. It's entirely possible. I think I was mentioning that should I get the opportunity to be down in the Timberley region or over in Dartmouth and at the North Brewing, I would sit down and if I were ordering a flight, I would make sure the Dartmouth Dark was part of that flight. So I want to try this one again. I want you to give it to me fresh off the keg here, if you please.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea. Now, may the Schwartz beer be with you. Explain again.
Okay. Spaceballs was a parody of Star Wars. They threw in some other space movie references in there as well, but it was mostly Star Wars. And instead of saying "May the Force be with you," because it's Mel Brooks, there's always that. And we've had this conversation about Mel Brooks movies where they're always very well hailed, and oh, you have to love this. And we watch them and we go. There's always the uncomfortable Jewish / anti-Semitic joke, you know?
Yeah.
So in Spaceballs, the joke was that the Force users were very Yiddish with the thing and the yes, and oh, you're here and you're studying and you're learning the ways of the Schwartz. And it was that kind of thing, as opposed to the Force. So Yoda... was yogurt's name, And he was played by Mel Brooks. So Mel Brooks was telling everyone, "Oh, the Schwartz is with you, and the Schwartz is with you." So this over the top, and I don't even want to say it's not Jewish humor, because that's a racist concept that, you know, Jewish people don't have a certain sense of humor. Everyone's humor is the same. This is Jewish exposing Jewish kind of humor, where you're adding a level of, oh, we could make this joke, or we could point out something incredibly Jewish about something and then make a joke about it. And I said, and I dislike those kinds of jokes.
Was it self-deprecating? Was it like stereotyping the Jewishness?
Not enough to make it funny. If you were absolutely doubling down and it was kind of that the overbearing Jewish mom character or something like that, that could have been funny. But no, he was just, "I'm Jewish and may the Schwartz be with you." And it's typical. It sounds like a kind of a Brooklyn accent. So it's sort of like Andrew Dice Clay presents Jewish racist jokes in a Star Wars theme. So regardless, they're always saying, "May the Schwartz be with you," and "May the Schwartz be with you," and you've got your Schwartz lightsaber and things like that. So it was the pseudo Jewish humor behind the whole thing. So I thought it would be kind of clever to say, "May the Schwartz beer," and honestly, you could say, "May the Schwartz beer with you."
I get it now. You have to explain it to me. Now, do I need to see the movie?
Only if we can watch it together. And tear it to shreds. And then I think that'll be entertaining. Because then you and I can watch Young Frankenstein and tear that to shreds. Because I've never seen it. You have seen it. So you know what we're in for.
Yeah. I mean, I'm aware of many of the references from Spaceballs. Because it's been around for 40-odd years. Mid-80s or something. Pizza the Heart and yogurt. Yeah, I know who's in it. I can see Rick Moranis. I can see John Candy with the stupid Chewbacca thing with the was he? Yes, he was playing Chewbacca with it. Anyway, whatever. I've heard reference to it, and I've seen clips of it, etc. But I've never seen the movie, and I thought I don't think I want to see the movie. One, Star Wars was my first great cinematic experience of my life when I was 9. It does not stand parodying. Now, you can parody Star Wars, I don't mind. But Mel Brooks doing it, I don't think I want to see it. Never have done. Blazing Saddles, I mentioned this earlier on to you, I did really enjoy. That does stand up. And yes, of course, there are racist jokes in it. They are not racist jokes. They are, of course, laughing. The comedy is laughing at white people.
It's the other side of things. Yeah. And I think that's around. The magic that he kept trying to grab, where, you're laughing at this joke because it's Jewish. And I'm like, no, I'm not. A, I'm not laughing at that joke. And B, the self-deprecating, it's not working in this situation. I have also not seen Blazing Saddles.
Okay.
Now,
does stand up. I would say maybe 50% of that, if we watch that together, I think 50% of that would stand up even 50 years later.
Okay.
Because the comedy in it, actually, there's a lot of comedy in it that is genuinely funny. And it is laughing at a lot of white stereotypes and white racism. It turns it on its head. Young Frankenstein, on the other hand, it's a cult classic, I was led to believe. And it's got really high ratings. It totally fell flat for me when I watched it only a year ago for the first time ever.
I have watched Robin Hood Men in Tights several times because everyone keeps telling me how funny and amazing it is. And I said, really? The first time I watch it, I thought all the humor was timed poorly.
Yeah, it's really awful.
There's a couple of chuckles in it. There's a couple of chuckles. And honestly, the scene where they do the music bit, the manly men, and tights, that is the only part of that movie that hits because of the musicality. The rhythm of the song prevents it from having that awkward Mel Brooksian pause after the joke where you're waiting for the laugh to happen.
Yeah.
Where you've got the characters. Oh, I can't remember the guy's name, but it was him and she was the original show. Gilda Radfield, I think, was playing the old witch, and she says her name is Latrine, and he says Latrine. What is it? Oh, we had it changed. Why did you have it changed? She says, yeah, it used to be Shithouse. And then he does this long pause while we wait for everyone in the audience to find it funny that she just said that, and says, good change. That's a good change. And I'm sitting there thinking, you took a perfectly good joke and you just ran over it with a Tonka truck three times. Just a mash, smash, 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 smash. Are you getting the joke now? Are you? And yeah. It's that kind of humor. And we discuss this. We could talk about humor in movies and its failure for a greatly long amount of time. But we won't.
I don't even want to talk about the producers. That's for another day. All right. I'm taking my beer and I'm out of here. Good night.
Again, the best part was the music. The music is funny because rhythm can't ruin Mel Brooks. I will die. I'm putting that on a shirt. I will die on that hill. The best Mel Brooks is a rhythmic Mel Brooks. There's no better Mel Brooks in the land. It's from a totally different song. Anyway. We're back here every Tuesday at 8 o'clock here on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@drinknsdry. You can find our podcast and all the podcasty places. And you can tune in live every week, or you can go directly to the source, which is drinkns.unsupervised.beer. But I have been Ross. That has been Ian, that empty chair over there. And we'll see you next week. Good night, everyone.